Today, we're going to talk about a no-drama approach to parenting by understanding your child's developing brain. We'll learn why connection and understanding trump punishment and explore discipline techniques like name it to tame it and time in versus time out. Join us as we talk about tips on fostering a strong parent-child bond and creating an environment that will help you and your kids thrive without all the drama. I know we all need this, myself especially. Let's get to it. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside and let's rock and talk. Hey friends, welcome back to episode number 92, the No Drama Blueprint. Building a strong parent-child bond. Now, as many of you know from about a month ago, I have been exploring the topic of discipline a little bit more, especially as my kids are in all different stages of development. And not only that, but I'm in a different situation than I have been before. Now, most of my kids are older. They kind of understand how I work and I understand how they work. But my youngest is 8, and I recognize that I am acting more like a burnt out parent and being more complacent than I want to be, than I'm comfortable being. So I'm really trying to increase my wisdom and my understanding in regards to discipline and improving that parent-child bond and that drama so that home is a safe, secure, and happy place to be. When I was researching things, I was really drawn to Dr. Dan Siegel. He shows up in a lot of the books that I read with these incredible quotes, and I knew that I would enjoy reading some of his things. So I found this book called No Drama Discipline, and he co-authored this with Tina Payne Bryson, and I will put this stuff in the show notes, as well as some of these key concepts, so that you can use them yourself for little refreshers, or you can print those off, or whatever you would like to do. As I've read this book, these concepts have really helped me in my parenting, and I'm confident that they will help you as well. But before I jump into that, I just want to do a really quick reminder. I have noticed I have forgotten to do this for several episodes again. I hope you will forgive me for my humanity, and I am also, just like all of you, trying to improve in so many areas. But I forgot to tell you about the $600 off flash sale, I think in like the last 3, maybe 4, maybe 5 episodes. So I will keep that for this last week, this first week of March, because we will be closing that. If it's not full already, it is close. So if you want one of those last spots, please email me. We do have space for more, but we wanted to keep it to a smaller, more intimate group because that's where the most learning takes place. So if you have any questions in the show notes, there is a texting option where you can ask your questions before you buy anything or ask if there's still any spots available or if that last flash sale discount is still on there. I really am not intending to carry it out anymore. I apologize that I keep forgetting to mention this, but that is specifically for the 6-day, 6-night stay in Costa Rica that will take place June 16th through the 22nd. and that includes everything except for your flight. Go to fulfillmenttherapy.org to find out all the details, all the things that we're doing. It is a personal growth and adventure retreat. So it has a lot of incredible excursions and also transformative coaching sessions. And while you're there, you can also sign up for one-on-one coaching sessions with me at any time. All right, now let's hop in to the training. What we're all here for is to learn how to build a stronger connection with your child and to minimize or even eliminate that drama. So that book, No Drama Discipline, was really helpful for me. I find that I do not really like this consequence-heavy type of discipline. It doesn't resonate with me. It doesn't feel good or intuitive. It doesn't seem to work overly well. There are times that that is needful and important, and I think often it can be done in a way that helps both sides feel more connected and filled with love. So that's really what I was seeking when I was doing my research. No Drama Discipline is about a whole brain approach to parenting and disciplining children. What Dr. Dan Siegel says and Dr. Bryson is that it's really important for us to understand developing brains so that we can give effective discipline. If you remember from my previous episode, discipline is to instruct and teach your child, not to shout at them or shame them or reprimand them, but it's to redirect their emotions and turn those meltdowns into an opportunity for growth. I think that was one thing that I was reminded of throughout this. When I talk to my husband, sometimes the feeling I get is that, and I'm not trying to throw him under the bus here, is that he wants to make them suffer a little bit. Don't we all? I totally want to do the same thing. When they're making our life miserable, we kind of want to make theirs a little bit miserable in turn. When we step back from that, we recognize what we really want is for them to grow and be healthy, resilient humans. And it's not to make them suffer and resentful and have us both be disconnected. I want to go back to that part that I said about understanding your child's developing brain. Well, I have a lot of clients that come in and they say something like, she won't ever pick up her room and she's so selfish. And things of that nature. And I just kind of laugh and I say, well, developmentally, that's pretty normal. And culturally, that's pretty normal. Not saying that that's okay, but that egocentric mindset and that inability to recognize what that is doing to other people in the room, that part of their brain is not fully developed yet. And it is developing, but it doesn't fully develop until the mid-20s. So if that is an issue, well, that's a normal issue. And until you talk about it and explore it with them and create more of awareness, that will continue to be an issue, most likely. The authors in this book talked about using discipline that prioritizes connection and understanding over punishment. They had a lot of really great examples that I liked. One of them that I remember is they were late for something, and the mom and the dad were taking their kids separate directions in different cars to get them to appointments. And the young child, I think probably 3 or 4, just lost his mind when they had to get in the car. And instead of getting really stern and grabbing them forcefully and putting them in the car seat and getting to the appointment, they paused and they instead asked themselves, this is my next bullet point. I'll bring it into this story. I believe it was the mom, and she said that she asked herself 3 questions, and you can use this same tip. I've been doing this quite a bit myself, but ask yourself why, what, and how when your child starts to act out. So that's what she did in this situation when the child, that little boy was losing it completely in that meltdown and in that tantrum. And when she asked herself this and also checked in with this child, she discovered that the child was really upset because the last several times he or she, I keep mixing up who it was, this child had gone with the mother but had wanted to go with a dad and felt neglected and left out, which is a very valid thing. And instead of shutting that child down, they worked through that. They talked about it and they came up with a solution. And it doesn't have to be long, but somewhat of a solution on how that child could get more daddy time and validated their feelings. And so I have been trying to do that as well. Now, sometimes this is easier said than done. Sometimes it's difficult to discover why is it that they're tantruming? What is it they need? And how can I help them really grow and help us connect? I must say that this does require us as parents to be more present. It doesn't allow for complacency and laziness, like I mentioned that I've been experiencing lately. It involves us taking more of that one-on-one, even if it's those small moments, to check in, like, hey, what's going on? I actually did have another example of this with my son. He's really been pushing back against us doing family scripture study. And I remember that. I hated it. It was so unpleasant and so filled with contention. And so I'm really trying to check in with him. Well, why is it that this bothers you so much? What is it that you need? And how can I help you get that? Depending on the age of the child, not all children have the self-awareness to really understand what it is they need or what it is they want or why they're acting that way. And my son didn't totally know either. But what it did was it opened the door for more understanding and it changed the atmosphere and the tone. And in response to that, our parent-child bond improved. We grew closer together. Now, did it solve the problem completely? No, I'm probably going to have to be a more patient and loving and persistent parent where I continue to check in and I continue with that willingness to be flexible and ask myself those questions and ask him those questions. Okay, this next tip is also really helpful, and I do this with all of my clients, including adults and children and teens, all of them. But the phrase, name it to tame it. If they're very activated, it's difficult to come down from that if you don't understand what it is you're feeling and you don't have that validation. So I included in the show notes the feelings wheel. I believe it's just feelingswheel.com. And that is a beautiful thing to print out and put on your fridge. Most of my clients do this. So that if there is a meltdown, a tantrum, or even those older kids, if there's a struggle, you hand them that sheet and you say, what is it you're feeling? Again, even adults, it's important to name it so that we can tame those feelings. This is actually connected to the other part they talked about quite a bit in this book called the upstairs brain and the downstairs brain. I'll see if I can explain this in a simple way, but really it's your downstairs brain is that reptilian brain, that lower, more animalistic brain. And your upstairs brain is your wiser, more calm and rational brain. But when your downstairs brain is online, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for your upstairs brain to function. So if we're trying to reason with our kids or like say, oh, what is it you need and why and all of these things, if we're trying to ask our kids all of these questions and trying to reason with them when they are super activated, it's just not going to happen. That part of their brain is not online. If I remember right, they compare it to a snake. If a snake is about to bite you, it's coming after you. If that snake is ready to attack, just like a child, that is not the time that you sit and try to teach them a lesson and talk to them about what they should or shouldn't be doing and how disappointed you are or any of those things. It is not the time. And how often do we as parents listen to that? Not very often. I am also at fault for that. So just remember that upstairs versus that downstairs brain, that reptilian brain. There is a time and a place to talk about things. And usually it's when they're calm and there's been connection again. There's been some of those bids or those deposits in the relationship to reconnect. They gave a lot of examples in the book that were quite tender of kids that were just doing terrible things and seemed like such snots, to be honest. And when the parents instead paused and were the adult and instead showed them some compassion and unconditional love, despite them doing this really naughty thing, then there was this softening and this love. It reminds me of another story they shared in the book. Something about, I think it was two brothers fighting and And the younger child destroyed a Lego project or something, and the older brother was so upset, understandably, because it had taken him so long and he was playing with a friend. And Dan Siegel, he took the boy aside and he just wanted to lay into him and just tell him that it was wrong what he did. But instead, he just compassionately hugged him. He held him. The son just cried and cried. And then after he calmed down, because of that connection, they were able to talk about those things and work through it and then discuss more that why, what, and how. All right, another concept that I want to mention is time in versus time out. This is still one that I'm trying to understand and I'm still researching. I do understand the concepts, but when it actually works in my own home. So time out can be destructive, just like spanking, for example, because it can send this message that you are not acceptable if you're activated and you need to leave. Only positive feelings are acceptable in our house. And that's why I haven't been totally excited about time out. And there is this aspect that can be very toxic for the family because those negative feelings, that energy, that lashing out is often like a virus and infects the family. And it ripples out and then other people are in turn grumpy and mean and it just changes the family dynamic. But what the authors suggest in this book is to instead encourage a time in. So it is not a punishment, but it is discipline. It is a chance for you to just calm down and deactivate and get that upstairs brain more online. So you can set up a little space for them where they can have some comfort objects and they can be by themselves to relax. And it's not a shameful place, but it's just a relaxing, calming place. They can listen to some calming music. They can cuddle that blanket. They can lay on that beanbag chair, whatever it is, so that they can deactivate a little bit more. Now, the part that I have to practice is to see if that actually works, because so far, my kids have not been very receptive to timeouts or even time ins. So it will be determined how well this works as I implement that more and more myself. I'll give you an update in the future. Time has gone so fast in this episode, so I'll just say a few more brief things. As parents, our presence and attunement are really crucial for fostering that strong parent-child connection. I am guilty of it, just like so many of you parents, of struggling to be present with all that's going on in the home and struggling to be attuned to my kids' needs. But if we really want to improve that connection, and if we want to minimize that drama in our homes, it's important that we find ways to be more present and attuned by minimizing distractions or the chaos in our own minds or the clutter around us, because this is a worthy work more than most of the things that we do. No success can compensate for failure in the home. That's a very popular quote that I really love, and often it haunts me with my own distractions. Parents also need to be mindful and aware of their emotions for effective responses to their children. So if we're pretty activated about other things, say we just had an argument with our spouse, or we are overwhelmed with our to-dos, well, that will leak out into other things. It's going to be more and more difficult to show up with that presence for our children. And it's going to be harder to ask ourselves those questions and do those things to deactivate them and help them grow and become more resilient. Check out the book for more tips on how to redirect behavior and teach self-control, as well as how to help children learn from their mistakes. They have a lot of great examples and case studies that I found really helpful. As a final reminder, seek that 1% growth that I always talk about, that James Clear talks about. We're not asking you to be perfect parents. You're not always going to be present and attuned. You're not always going to be gauging your own emotions and making sure you're not negatively affecting your family. But you can make those small little efforts that can support your child's healthy brain development and their emotional well-being. And I would encourage you just stick with a few things. For example, when I read this book, just a few of the takeaways that I had reminded me to help them name it to tame it. Show them that feeling, Will, and help them name how they're feeling. Ask yourself or them if they're older, why are they acting out? What is it that they need and how can you give that to them? And then explore the possibility of that time in versus time out, and also the upstairs brain versus the downstairs brain concepts. It's important to remember that they cannot learn when their reptilian brain or their downstairs brain is taking center stage. First, reconnect. Rebuild that parent-child bond. Be present with them. Be loving. Be compassionate. Have that unconditional love and that tenderness. And don't be so consumed with the idea that they need to suffer for their naughtiness. And instead, focus on what need is not being met in my child, and how can I help them grow and develop? That does take a higher level of parenting that I am currently not at, and am actively working to be more at. Like I mentioned earlier, this is a whole brain approach that prioritizes connection over punishment. It's about that loving discipline that helps our children become their best selves, which is exactly what we're trying to become. And this, my friends, is how we can both have greater fulfillment personally and in our family lives. Best of luck to you as you try to implement these things. And in closing, just a reminder to check out the show notes to find us in all the places, whether that's our Facebook community for those free resources every single day on marriaging tips, parenting tips, and personal growth tips, and Instagram, or else that one-on-one coaching link and that chat if you have any questions about any retreats or coaching or free resources. You can find all of that information there and a breakdown of each podcast episode. Have a beautiful day, my friends, and best of luck to you as you build that stronger parent-child bond and find greater fulfillment in your homes. Take care, my friends. Hey, friends, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you, no matter what your house or your hair looks like. I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.